Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way you like. If you're feeling like you need a little bit of company, you
make this me spring, Philip Lindsay and I are hitting the streets. And we're taking the show on the road. It's The Drive's Brouhaha, and our first stop is 1 week from Friday at Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. We're going to be there April 19th from 2 to 6. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. Really looking forward to seeing some listeners. Okay. One of the most unique combinations that can happen in sports is taking place right now, and ultimately we'll have a moment here in about a month in the state of Colorado. We've been talking about it for months, but now it's just done. It's done. It's done. It's totally in focus. It's a very sharp image, and that is double MVPs. Double MVPs.
Double MVPs. MVP. MVP.
I mean, how cool, Phil?
It's... Look, this is the first time something like this has ever happened to me, where you have two people, you know, with the MVP, and it's going to be, what, the second time ever?
Yes. Yeah, so this is not a you thing. You could be 95 years old living in Boston,
yeah,
and it's never happened to your market. You could be living in San Antonio or Dallas or Philly. It's happened one other time.
And we get to tell our kids about it.
Yes. That's what, like,
this,
these,
cool.
It's like when we say, like, these are the good old days.
Yeah.
Like, we're living in a golden age of Avalanche hockey, Nuggets basketball, and we have one reference point of it ever happening before, and it's in the late 80s with Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky. And you say those names are just transcendent. They are legends. They are giants. And that's who Jokic and McKinnon are, but we're watching it unfold in real time.
Yeah, man, they're incredible. They're incredible. And it's just so, like, you know what makes me mad about the Denver Broncos, Zach, is all last year, right, the Denver Nuggets were going through their journey to win a championship. And who was at the front of every single home game in the playoffs? Who was the people at the front? You had Justin Simmons sitting there. You had Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
You had Sean Payton,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you had all of them always at these games seeing, like, what success looks like. What do you have to do to get over the top? What's the same with the Colorado Avalanche, right? It seems like those two teams, they have, like, they're made up of the same kind of matter. They're made up of the same thing. Like, they're identical to what they do.
Yeah, it's true. And
it's like they're on the same exact path. It seems like when one person gets hurt from Denver, somebody gets hurt with Avalanche. But they both have all-stars, and they both have multiple people that I'm not going to all say all-stars, but they're stars.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because you're in football doesn't mean that you can't look at, like, what's going on and start building around things like that, because it's out there for you.
Oh, it's a great point about the, like, almost like, they're like the Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at
yeah.
each other. It's like, that's the Nuggets and the Avs. For Nathan McKinnon, there's Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
For Jared Bednar, there's Micah Malone.
Two MVPs, two great coaches, and that's what you need to be successful. That's, of course, Patrick Mahomes, MVP, and you see him all the time out there with the Super Bowls. So, one, we have to get a quarterback at the Denver position, right? We have to get a quarterback. But sitting here in front of us, it's just like, man, it's not going to always be like this, and we're not going to always have this two MVPs and just be able to be spoiled. So it's like, let's embrace it. Let's enjoy it.
Gotta enjoy
it. Have fun.
Yeah, you cannot take it for granted. You cannot take it for granted. And I know the most consistent people in our life is the most likely to take them for granted. It's like your mom or your wife.
Yeah.
And then if you took them away, by day number 6 or 7, you'd be like, my world's upside down.
Yeah.
And with Jokic, there was life before Jokic. No NBA final appearance ever.
Nope.
They've been playing Denver Nuggets basketball since the 70s. Never made it to the finals. Jokic comes in the fold, and you're winning a title. Favored to do it again. Third MVP incoming. And both organizations, in terms of the mirror opposites for Michael Malone and Bednar, McKinnon and Jokic, maybe it's like Kale. I think Kale is...
If we're going to compare, this is pretty fun. If you're going to compare, like Kale with who? So you got Jokic with Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah,
those two pair together.
And they're perfect.
They are. They're like...
Like
peanut butter and jelly.
Yes.
Who's peanut butter though?
But McKinnon.
Okay.
Because sometimes he's just a little crunchy. Like he just doesn't. He's just tightly wound, bro.
The nuts in there, huh?
Yes.
They're big crunchy nuts.
You're speaking for yourself over there. I have no part of this.
Oh man.
But for Kale, Kale's actually off to such a historical start to his career,
yeah,
that I don't think that's where I think the comparisons, like you could do it with Jamal because Jamal was just great in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Kale, what Kale has done as a defenseman, like he's the GOAT defenseman and he's like 25.
But see, if you don't have Kale, you're not winning a cup. If we don't have Jamal, you're not winning a championship.
Yeah, true.
Now, Kale has more success in certain aspects than Jamal, but also for Jamal, it's like he's hurt too. I wonder what he would have been like if he would have been healthy this whole entire year. Like how many more accolades he may have collected this year because of being healthy.
Yeah, and maybe he would have been an All-NBA guy.
We were hoping for.
And honestly, the fact that he's not, at least I don't think, but he's going to save the Nuggets a ton of money.
Yeah, he is. It's the business side that sucks.
But well, it sucks for Jamal.
It does.
Not for the team.
No.
Because it would get harder to construct a championship roster if Jamal, and for those who don't know, the rules just changed this past year or last year that if you make an All-NBA team and your contract's up, you're eligible for a Supermax. And a Supermax, you take a percentage of the salary cap. And it would literally be like Jaylen Brown did it last year.
Yep.
Perfect intersection. He made an All-NBA team with his contract. Paid him $300 million. I mean, think about that.
Oh,
and I'm not sure he's the best player on his team, right? So it's like it's like one of these things where it might have benefited the Nuggets. But McKinnon last night, what do you say? I mean.
Phenomenal. I mean, he did something out there to solidify that he is going to win the Hart Trophy. He is the MVP. And everybody has that signature moment. Right, you always want to have that signature moment as a superstar or one that's guaranteed to win the MVP, where nobody it leaves no doubt.
Yeah,
like you done crossed all the boxes.
Yeah,
and now you're just going to retrieve your award, and that's what Nathan McKinnon did last night. He went out there, had the hat trick.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Not only that, he had another point, and to be real with you, Zach, he could have had probably two other points or at least another goal. It kind of seemed like he kind of let up off the gas a little bit. Kind of in the third period, where it's just like, we're done.
Yeah, it looks like they
the
all
while
did.
We're
yeah.
done.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
was quiet in the building.
Yeah, just like finish the round.
I almost started falling asleep.
Yeah, like in boxing sometimes, just finish the round. It's like almost just like, hey, like let's just finish, you know. That's what that third looked like. But yeah, I mean, McKinnon with the hat trick gives him 51 goals on the season. That's insane. He climbs to 137 points on the season with three games left. That's insane. He's just now 2 points back of Nikita Kucherov of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Art Ross Trophy race. All right. He passed Peter Forsberg on the franchise hat trick leaderboard and is now third all time after last night. He's just the second NHL player in the last 25 years to reach 50 goals and have 85 or more assists in a season. The only other comp in the last 2.5 decades is Connor McDavid. So this guy has taken damn near every record that we have as a franchise, and it started with the first home game of the year and hasn't let up yet. Just incredible.
And you know, like he had the interview where he said, hey, I wasn't expecting to have 50 points. And some people are like, oh, he's just 50 goals.
Yep.
You know, he's just saying that just because he's just trying to be humble. And no, I guarantee he didn't think anything of it. You know, because it's hard to do something like that. It's hard to win an MVP. Okay, it's like, of course, it's on your radar and it's your goal, but things have to go right for you, Zach, for you to win an MVP.
Totally.
And to do the things that Nathan McKinnon has done, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a little luck. You have to have your teammates all involved that care for you, that are willing to do the dirty work at times to help you out.
Yes.
Like, that, everything has to fall in place perfectly. And when you do it long enough and people love you and you do so much for other people, they're willing to do and give their shirt off their back for you to be successful.
Yeah.
That's when you have a winning team, and that's what Nathan McKinnon's all about. And that's why everybody wants him to succeed, and it's going to happen now.
And it's been a special regular season where other dudes like Nikita Kucherov and Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, I mean, it's been a great regular season, and he's standing out amongst all of them.
Yes, he is.
Just legendary, man. Legendary. All right. How many people would like to sit down and have a drink with Coach Prime? Well, now you can. Just bring a wad of cash. Wait until you hear about the latest CU fundraiser. It's coming up next. I've been popping, popping, man. I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Getting you home on a Wednesday. Thanks for making us a small part of your April 10th. We are rolling downhill. I told you, anytime you get to the second half of Wednesday's show, we are officially closer to the weekend than we are Monday.
So we're not over the hump yet, but we're at the hump. Garrett, it's not rolling down.
Yeah, just past like the crest. And we're just beginning to build momentum. By the time we come in here tomorrow, we'll be able to reach out and touch Friday, and that's just a great thing. So hopefully you guys are having a good day. And as I said, thanks for making us a small part of it. Good conversation we were just having about the double MVPs, which is absolutely going to happen. And we shift gears here now because your alma mater is throwing a dinner.
A little dinner party.
Dinner party. Who doesn't love a dinner party?
I mean, I would love an invitation. I would love to go to the dinner.
You can go.
Oh, yeah.
Just bring a couple stacks.
Oh, break it to my son's piggy bank that he has. It's a Spider-Man piggy bank. He's been saving up money.
Nice.
Asking everybody that walks through the door, he asked him for some money.
Is that right?
For his piggy bank.
Hey, can I get some money from my piggy bank? God, Phil, you're three.
I know. He knows what it is.
God almighty, man. It was like last month. Owen figured out how to take the plug out of his, because he's got a piggy bank.
Yeah.
Figured out how to take the plug, emptied out all the change.
Okay.
Ends up playing. My daughter ends up figuring it out. Next thing you know, where do you think that change ends up? Inside of her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, dude, that is the dirtiest, like, it's the dirty money. It's in your mouth.
It's dirty money, literally.
Sucking on a penny. Like, not good. She survived.
Builds character.
Yeah, builds character. All right. Colorado's Collective. All right. And this is now the name of, like, these, I guess in, like, the political world, they have, like PACs, I think. Like super PACs. College football, now you got collectives. It's like gathering a bunch of people. Just try to raise as much money as possible that you can redistribute back to athletes. And the collective up there in Boulder is the 5430 Alliance, all right? 5430. 5430 is not the altitude. It's the height. Yeah, it's the height of Folsom Field, all right, from sea level. So we got 5280 is a mile high. 5430 is what Folsom Field is.
Meet me 5430 on the dot.
Well, the 5430 Alliance, Mr. Philip Lindsay, has announced the Prime Time Elite Dinner. The Prime Time Elite Dinner. If you want to get a ticket for just you, bring
$1,000. $1,000. You act like somebody just had $1,000 just sitting there. In their back pocket, that's just willing to give it up for a dinner.
And that is to be in the same room as Coach Prime. Not to sit with him or sit near him, but it's to be in the same room. All right? $1,000 a ticket. If you want to get a table for you and 9 friends, 10 tickets, it's called the Buffs Table. Bring $7,000. If you want to sit at the Black and Gold Table, which will have 2 CU coaches or players, all right? It's you and 7 friends, 8 total tickets, $12,000. But that's for the regular people. If you want to sit at the elite table.
The elite.
The elite table with Shador and Travis.
Dude is Shador.
Dude is Shador.
Don't Shador Sam.
Don't step on the buffalo. Don't disrespect this set. If you want to sit with Shador and Travis, you can sit at the elite table for $15,000. Wild, but it doesn't stop there.
$15,000 to sit with some kids, huh?
Pretty much. Pretty much. If you want to sit at the prime table, this does not mean you're sitting with prime, but you're sitting near him.
Oh, so it's a prime table.
It's a prime table.
Prime's not even going to be at the prime table.
Prime is not at the prime table, but prime is nearby. Bring $17,000 for a table in Coach Prime's section.
That's wild. That's wild.
Uh-huh. And if you want to sit with Coach Prime, you can hit up the VIP prime table for
$20,000. $20,000 to sit with Coach Prime and watch this man eat, huh?
Isn't that wild?
Talk about elevating and meditating and
elevate
educating.
And dominate.
Dominate.
21 ways to win on and off the field. What do you think of this, man? Is this extra or is this just the cost of doing business in 2024 in college football?
You know, I wish I knew, because this is something that obviously is going on other places. This wasn't just made up and saying, oh, okay, $20,000. We talked about it earlier. Like for Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, how much would it cost to be with them if they're doing something like this, which I think that they would at this point, because you're trying to get money, because this is not going to Coach Prime's piggy bank, all right? Or it's not going just to the football organization. This is going for the NIL money.
Yes.
That we need to be able to keep these, it's wild, that we need to be able to keep these kids coming here. We have to pay for them to go to school, and then we have to pay for them to be on the football field. And if they're not good, they're still getting paid. This is wild.
Yeah. I mean,
that's on a different subject, but this is, yeah.
It takes getting used to, because like when I first hear this, I'm like, this is...
It's sick. Like literally, you're going to sit down close to Coach Prime where you can like reach out and touch him. You know, touch his head maybe, but don't do that. You know, his hair, you know, he likes it. He is nice and it's nice and smooth.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're paying all this money just to sit at a dinner table that you can go to Applebee's and get a steak, go to Chili's and get a steak. But you just want to be in the room, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is the new cost of business. This is the new, if you want to be able to dish out money to your athletes in the form of NIL deals, where is it coming from? Prime established that Boulder was not going to be a NIL hub.
Yeah.
He said, if you're looking for the bag, don't come to Boulder. That was before last season. But now they're kind of creating a bag, and they're trying. And what I'll say is, I mean, this was... I think this happens around the country at the big boys, for the big boys.
Yeah, I think it does too. I'm interested to see if you gave a person $20,000, would they spend it to go to this thing to listen to Coach Prime?
Oh, if you gifted someone $20,000?
And say, hey, $20,000 for you to go up there with the Prime and the Elite. Now it's starting to hit me. So it's the Prime, which is Coach Prime, and the Elite, which is his son, and Travis Hunter. That's why both of them are together, huh?
Yes.
So it's talking about the Prime, which is him, Elite, and those are the three people that are going to bring the most money.
Yep.
So it's called Prime Elite, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's a new world, man. It is an absolute new world.
You doing it? $20,000 if I gift it to you and say,
Phil,
go see Coach Prime?
This is no disrespect in any way, shape, or form to Prime or CU or the program. I would find 200 other things to do before I spent it to sit with another man.
Mm.
No, I'm dead serious. To sit with any man. Like, and it just, no. And what if you pay for the table with the CU coaches or players, and you pay $12,000, you sit next to Patty Shurmur. Have fun. Have fun.
Oh, man.
All right. What do we make of a trade proposal involving the Broncos' best player? Fantasy football? Or is there a shred of truth in here? We'll bounce it off you coming up next. Because you're hot and you're cold. Yes, then you're no. You're in and you're out. what do we make of this trade proposal involving the Broncos' best player? Fantasy football or some reality to this? If you want to hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, all right, you can do that at 303-713-1043. Someone says, Phil, are you going to wish Dan Lanning a happy birthday on air today? Dan Lanning's birthday. Man. It's a good, this is a duck.
Why are they trolling me, huh?
It's a duck on the text line.
It's a duck, huh? Well, you know, when is duck hunt season?
It's a good question.
That's when I'll say the happy birthday.
I like that.
Happy birthday, Dan.
What do we make of this trade proposal involving the Broncos' best player? Now, this was put out there by a writer named Matt Lombardo of Heavy Sports, and it came across our timeline yesterday, and we just didn't get to it. But he has a proposed trade from the Cincinnati Bengals involving Patrick Surtain. All right, and he it was a long article. I read it. It's too much to go through, but yeah. He gave reasoning why, you know, the Bengals are now all in. You know, they got decisions to make with guys on offense, but they need to show up the defense, and the time to strike is now, and that's where Pat Surtain falls into their crosshairs type of deal. But I'm curious, and I'll throw this out to the listeners as well, all right? Would you do this trade? And again, you can tell me it's fantasy football. I'm just going to relay what he said, okay?
Or what you said.
I'm
just pretend like it's him.
I'm just saying what he said.
Because I know you don't like Pat Surtain either.
Oh, my God.
I'm watching you.
Who doesn't like Pat Surtain? Everyone
okay,
likes Pat Surtain.
But you would give him up.
Well, let's talk about it. In this scenario, the Cincinnati Bengals trade their first-round pick this year, which is the 18th overall pick. They trade a third-round pick this year, which is the 80th overall pick. And a first-round pick in next year's draft. So you get two first-round picks and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
The Broncos would then give the Bengals Pat Surtain plus a fourth-round pick.
Okay.
Would you do that deal? Two first-round picks and a third-round pick.
And one of those picks is this year, right? So you would have the 12th and the 18th.
Yep.
18th, which you may need at this point to get who you think you want. If it's your boy, JJ McCarthy, you might be able to get away with that because that's what the Vikings are doing.
Yes, and now you'd have a pick that's actually before that Vikings pick because I think theirs is like the 23rd pick.
Yeah, and on top of that, you'll still be able to have all your first-round draft picks and then another first-round draft pick for later on.
Yeah, so you'd basically have two first-round draft picks this year, two first-round draft picks next year, and an additional third-round pick this year.
Woo, you're gutting the place out. Sean, and this is me and Sean's head right now. Sean did not draft PS2.
Mm-mm.
You want to make this your home. You want to make this the roster that you've built. You can get some draft capital right now. You can move up and get the quarterback of your dreams if that is the case. I can see him doing it. Now, would I do it?
That was the question.
You know I like Michael Penix Jr. I don't think we're going to have to move up to get him. So as much as I'm like intrigued and like, you know what? I love getting more draft capital and I can have the quarterback up there. I don't know if I'm going to give up Pat Surtain right now. But you know what? What the heck? We're going to make the trade.
Whoa!
We're going to make the trade.
I cannot believe you hate Pat Surtain.
Oh!
I didn't see that coming.
And we're going to make the trade. We're going to make it.
This for me, and I'm already seeing the response rolling in on the text line. The RamosLaw.com text line. All right. The first that I see is hell no.
Okay.
The second I see, come on, Zach, Pat Surtain is a young player the Broncos should build around. Not to mention the best at his position in the NFL. Trading him would be an implosion.
Isn't it already?
I would do this deal in a New York minute.
Why, though?
Because here's the question to ask. Are the Broncos in a rebuild?
Yeah.
They are, right? They are. What do you do in a rebuild? You do things that are hard. You say goodbye to players that you don't want to say goodbye to. You want to restock the cupboard with young, drafted talent on rookie contracts.
Yeah.
And the Broncos haven't picked in the first round in a few years now. The quickest way to get out of the muck and mire is to draft a franchise quarterback, accumulate picks, restock the cupboards. And the only reason we're having this conversation about Pat Surtain, one, it was written about, all right, by someone totally not involved with the Denver Broncos.
This is probably not going to happen.
Yes. But if this were the offer and it was a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, and a third-round pick, the Broncos are a losing team with Pat Surtain.
That's the key one right there, Zach. Is Pat Surtain has been in for 3 years and nothing has changed. Yes, he is a great player.
He's a great player.
Great player. But right now, having a great player on a team that's not winning, that means you're just there. You're just there to collect a check because we're going to start to pay that man $100 million.
And that's the thing.
That's what gets me.
And that's what's coming around the corner. Yeah. The only reason we're having this conversation about Pat Surtain, other than the fact that it was written about, is that he's the only eligible player to have on the Denver Broncos this conversation. That I don't even think there's a member of the Denver Broncos that you could get a third-round pick for. Literally. Maybe
Courtland. If you had the right team that needs a receiver that's consistent enough,
maybe.
A third-round pick for Courtland Sutton, okay, with the money that they would have to give him, I think they could get the job done with Courtland Sutton. But that may be it.
Maybe. And maybe a team like Buffalo, who's got a depleted wide receiver room. Holy moly. You look at who is on their roster there, and I'm expecting them to do something in the first round and draft a pass catcher. But I would be sprinting to the phone to agree to this. I really would. And it's the cost of doing business in a rebuild. But at the end of the day, I think this writer, Matt Lombardo, I think he's got it wrong. I don't think that you can get two first-round picks and a third-round pick for PS2 anymore. I don't, because of what he's about to be owed. He's going to play on the fifth-year option. Well, he'll play this year. Then he'll play on the fifth-year option, which is a big-boy number. And that is a big-boy number. And then you're going to have to turn around and give him a market-setting deal. And I don't know if that lines up with the Broncos' arc of where they are. And it could.
Well, if we're talking about the Bengals and everything that's going on, they're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
They have this window that's kind of going out. So some teams are willing to just give it all in. The Rams were that team.
Yes.
We're just willing to give everything up to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then, you end up, hurting or the effects hit you earlier. But with the Rams, it didn't. They drafted really well.
They did.
And they had a young team and went back to the playoffs.
They did.
So, that's good. But guess what? They had a quarterback. With the Bengals, they may be willing to do all that. Is Sean willing to give up PS2? That's going to be the question.
I think for a deal like this, I think he would do it in a second.
He has nothing tied to PS2. He doesn't owe PS2 anything.
PS2 would fit in with a place like Cincinnati.
He would love it.
Super Bowl window right now. That's just not where we're at in Denver. So, interesting conversation. I think there's a bit of fantasy football in there, but maybe not. Just takes one. All right, tonight is a showdown on national TV for the number one seed and a home court advantage in the Western Conference playoffs. We're going to be there. What are the hallmark things we're watching for in a few hours from now? We'll talk about it coming up next. What a basketball game we have awaiting us here in Denver.
I'm a bowler, I'm a 20-inch crawler.
Denver Nuggets. Minnesota Timberwolves. Number one seed. ESPN. Home court advantage through the Western Conference playoffs.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready.
You're not built.
Be a baller.
You're not
built for these days.
You're not built for this tonight. You're not built for this tonight.
This physique, the bunnies I have in these kneecaps, the acceleration I have, like Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh,
the smartness I have in Jokic. The shooting ability when MPJ is hot.
Okay. You're like a creative player. Everything's a 99.
The defense like KCP. Let's go.
Dude, tonight's a biggie.
It is a biggie.
Tonight's a biggie. You're going to be there?
Oh, I'm going to be there. You going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And, you know, you play all season long, and the Nuggets were looking up at Minnesota for 90% of this season.
Yeah.
And now here, post All-Star break, home stretch, the Nuggets have been sensational on the whole. On the whole. A couple nights here and there, sure. But that's a long NBA season. And a couple of those nights have been to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it wasn't more than 2 weeks ago where the Wolves came in here and put a beat down on Denver. Put a beat down. And that's what makes tonight, if you want the number one seed, a must win. The objective is clear. Win your last three games and you're good. Lose tonight and you might as well shut the operation down for the next week. And that's where I'm at. The playoffs start in 10 days. That's it. 10 days from now, the Nuggets will be hosting a game at Ball Arena.
Yeah.
And if you win tonight, they'll be hosting game one at Ball Arena. First round, second round, third round, should they make it that far. And we expect that they will. So you don't have to hype it up. The game is hyped up on its own.
Listen, there's nothing else to hype up. You either get in there and you win, or you go in there, you lose, or you get embarrassed. They've already been embarrassed, all right, on their home court. Now it's time for them to step up, wake up. Okay, Jamal Murray is back. Hopefully we have Aaron Gordon. We don't know yet, right?
Not yet.
I'm thinking they're going to have Aaron Gordon tonight.
Same.
I think Aaron Gordon knows how important this game is. So he's going to play. And I think that we're going to win. Now, if we don't end up winning and we get blown out like we did Friday, which I don't anticipate having.
That would be unusual.
Then Malone's going to make sure that they play these last two games.
You think so?
I think so. As a coach, put yourself as a coach, right? You're coaching your kids. You're doing all this, right?
I'm coaching five-year-olds, so it's a little bit different.
But I know how you are. You have them over there writing suicides.
They're not going to run themselves.
My feet hurt. Well, now your hands are going to hurt because you're going to have to do free throw forever.
Yeah.
It's a coach's mindset that if you get embarrassed out there, you're going to want to see them play, especially that the playoffs are around the corner.
There's almost no way where they're going to get embarrassed. There's almost no way they're going to get embarrassed.
Oh.
They're a 6-point favorite. Everyone, maybe other than Jokic, is on the same page that this is a big game. And you hear Jokic after the game in Utah. Well, it's funny, man, because Anthony Edwards goes up there and says, quote, "I think everyone knows what's at stake. I don't even need to talk about how big it is. Everybody knows." Then they ask Jokic about it, and Jokic says, "I don't think it's really a big game. Yes, we're going to go out there. We're going to play to win the game, of course, but I think people are just making their stories that it's a big game. Hopefully, it's going to be interesting." So it's like,
Who do you believe?
Anthony Edwards.
Hands down.
Although, look, if you've played in, like, actual big boy games, like NBA finals, elimination games, all this stuff, like, you know, maybe from Jokic's perspective,
it is what it is.
Maybe that's how he's viewing it, of like, dude, if we lose, we're going to start the playoffs in 10 days. If we win, we're going to start the playoffs in 10 days.
Which, honestly, can you fault Jokic for doing that? MVP, doing some of the things he has done already.
No. If that's his actual... See, Jokic, I want to take something back. What you said, who do you believe? I believe both guys. Jokic has such a interesting personality where he, like, is almost literal all the time. Like, he says what he believes.
Yeah, and was never in his head at that time.
Yeah, he's not a guy that props up other stuff just to do it. He is, like... He is so literal, and it's just a part of his personality following this guy for the last 7.5 years. So both guys might be telling their own truth of like, hey, I've been in big games. This isn't even a playoff game. So, but I think his actions tonight will say it all.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, hearing that from Jokic, how do you feel about what he has said? Like, do you want him to be nonchalant about it, or do you want him to be like, yeah, this is a big game. We know what's in store. We know what we have to do. You know, we all know that we're in the playoffs, but we want this. We want this for the home crowd. We want this for ourselves.
I don't want to be dismissive of the question because it's a good question. And I think I almost don't care what they say.
Okay.
I almost don't care what these guys say before or after the game.
Like, which makes sense.
Like, I watch the game and I'll let the actions determine how I feel. And I know different people, and if maybe someone who's down there every day or night wants to put more value into the press conferences and what's said. I just, the games come first, second, and third. What's being said is almost like it's good fodder. We can play the clip and stuff, but I'll watch his actions. And I think his actions tonight will speak volumes. I think he will be ready for a war tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you feel like he has a triple-double?
Yes.
And his bag of tricks.
Yes. I think you're just going to see the head of the snake open its mouth and freaking chomp down. And I think I know what I'm going to get with him. But it's like Jamal missed 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Came back yesterday. And now you're playing the second night of a back-to-back. Aaron Gordon. Are we going to see him? And if we do see him, what version of him
Let's start with Jamal Murray. Right? I think that Jamal did what he did last night, not just scoring the points, because we have 26, 20.
Was it that many? Hold on.
I'm
double checking right
now. Yeah, he was up there with points. 28.
Excuse me, 28.
So 28 points. All right, had like five dunks in a row kind of situation. That right there, he was making a statement. He was making a statement, just like sometimes in his press conferences, he makes a statement with certain things he does and says,
sure,
and his actions.
Sure.
His actions last night were, I'm healthy. You guys stop worrying about me. You guys stop talking about this stamina thing, this situation, like, am I going to be able to play a back-to-back or what I'm going to be like in the playoffs. I'm proving that tonight to you guys that I am healthy. They were just giving me rest. That's kind of what I feel like he went out there and did and said with his actions.
That's fair. Because five dunks in the first half, Jamal Murray's never done that, ever, in his career. It was a career high, five dunks in the first half. And excuse me, just a quick house cleaning. I said Jamal came back yesterday. He came back against Atlanta on Saturday, played 21 minutes. So we'll see, man. I mean, the other layer is Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. Michael Porter Jr.'s got to bring it tonight. Like, he's got to score between 15 and 22 points.
He's kind of went back into his little shell, hasn't he? Where is this, like, I'm just going to hang out here and just do my little part and call it a day. That's kind of what I feel with him.
12 points in 29 minutes last night.
Yeah, it wasn't a good showing. Look, this is a big-time game, Zach. You know I want Michael Porter to do good. You know I've been down on Michael Porter Jr. But I'm not going to sit here and rely on Michael Porter Jr. because I don't know where his head's at. It looks like at times he's in the gutters. I'm going to go with KCP. As long as KCP has a good game, along with Jamal and Jokic doing what they're supposed to do, we're going to win this game. I'm not going to rely on Michael Porter Jr. Now, if he does come along, that's even more icing on the cake. But I think KCP is going to come to play.
KCP, I mean, it didn't play great last night.
No.
All right, scored just 6 points. But outside of that, he has been nails here for the last couple weeks. Made 6 threes against the Hawks on Saturday. Made 4 threes against the Clippers on Thursday. Made 6 threes against the Cavs last Sunday. So he's got it going. Like with KCP, honestly, in a big game, it's not like Jokic level of trust, but it is the highest level of trust that I could have for a role player.
He's like a veteran, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's going to go out there. You know he's going to do what he has to do. You know he understands what he needs to do. He does a phenomenal job on the defensive side of the ball.
So good.
And when he is hot at the three, it's just like another, what do you want to call it, a bonus or whatever to whatever's going on with Jamal, Jokic, and if MPJ's doing well.
Yeah, man. KCP is one of my favorite athletes in Colorado. He is a steadying force. He oftentimes, like, he has a like what I was trying to say about him in big games and knowing what I'm going to get, he has like a sensitivity to the moment.
Yeah.
And he just seizes it. So
if you had to list the five starters, like, no, like what you just said with KCP, how would it go?
Of reliability?
Yes.
Jokic number one. This is a big game, so I'm just gonna view it through the lens of a big game.
Uh huh.
Jokic number one, Jamal number two. God, and then it's between Aaron Gordon and KCP.
See,
followed by MPJ.
You're going off the big game, and that's why you said it, because Jamal Murray has showed up in big games.
Over and over again. Yeah,
so it's like, I can't disrespect him, man. But I have to put Aaron Gordon number two.
If you want to, it's your list.
No, I'm just saying, it's your list. For me, it would be Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Jamal, KCP, MPJ.
I don't hate it, because guess what? These are champagne problems.
This is champagne problems.
And, you know, this is how we would talk about the Avs. And who's, Nate is the best, but Kale might be the most important, but the most valuable has been Val, but the most clutch is, these are rich people problems. And I'm glad we have them. I'm glad we have them.
Oh, yeah.
But it is going to be a really, really, really tall task tonight. Minnesota, Anthony Edwards coming off a career high 51 points last night, but they had to do it in comeback fashion against a bad basketball team. And I'm mentioning that because you look at the minutes played by Anthony Edwards. He played almost 40 minutes. Like, those are playoff minutes. He played 38 minutes last night. So, and they're coming now into altitude.
Yeah.
Denver didn't have to travel. Minnesota did. No, excuse me.
Yeah, they both had to travel.
Did have to travel, but they're coming here. So yeah. you feel good about Denver at home.
It's the shortest travel for Denver because it was in Utah.
It is. Good point. Yep. So, and they took care of business in Utah. Like any time the Nuggets focused last night, it was like, oh my gosh, these two teams don't belong on the same floor.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see what it looks like tonight, man. Give me a prediction. I know you're gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. Can't wait.
Yeah. This is gonna be one of these games where, you know how the Timberwolves dominated us. We're gonna dominate the Timberwolves like that tonight.
You think so?
The atmosphere. Having everybody on the court, I'm expecting Aaron Gordon to play as well. There's just too much. And I think we're getting ready to show the Timberwolves of why we are the champs and we're going for another championship. And, like, they're good, but they're just not on our level right now.
Oh, I think the Nuggets are going to win. Okay. But I don't share that level of confidence because of reintroducing Jamal, second night of a back-to-back, the questionable status about on Aaron Gordon. And those two things working together, again, not only do I think the Nuggets are going to win, I've already bet them to win.
Yeah.
But I just, in terms of dominating Minnesota, I can't go there. I think this is going to be...
embarrassed.
I know.
They've been embarrassed.
I know.
At some point, you get tired of it.
I think it's going to take all four quarters is what I'm saying. I think this is a Jokic playing like 39 minutes tonight. But those two, if Jamal wasn't coming off an injury, if Aaron Gordon wasn't questionable, we don't know if that guy's going to play. So I just don't share that your level of optimism. I think it's going to be really, really hard. And that is a incredible collection. Like, Nuggets have the better starting five, but their combination and size of Anthony Edwards and Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels, in addition to a veteran point guard like Mike Conley, who has been shooting the lights out. We'll see, man. I can't wait. We will be there. If you see us, say hello. And then we'll report back tomorrow what it was like from a first-person standpoint.
It'll be fun.